Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win Album of the Year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
USF administration, undeniably, are liars. We are supposed to be an inclusive school. We came here for diversity. We came here to be accepted and to be able to be told on a day-to-day basis. We mentioned our brother, Mac. He is one of the pillars of our community. To not be able to embrace him, to not be able to celebrate, it's a U.S. ally. We are being equated to a terrorist group. We are being told that we, who are trying to support our friend, our brother, our community leader in one of his greatest accomplishments, in where he sacrificed everything, left all his friends, left all his family to go fight in a war to save his people in the one Jewish state in the entire world. There's 15 million Jews on this planet and 8 million of them live in Israel. And he went to go fight them all on his own with no friends, no backing. And to be told that he's equivalent to an internationally recognized terrorist group, how are we supposed to be inclusive? How is the administration telling us that they want to promote those values and be safe and keep students involved when they're telling us that we'll protect all student groups except Jews? Jews are not part of the coalition. Jews are someone you are more than welcome to be anti-Semitic against. You're more than welcome to be racist against. We're an ethno-religion. We are someone, we are just accepted. It is accepted to be hateful to Jews on this campus. USF administration is liars.
Yes, brand new banging I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast is here. Brand new banging I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast is here. This is an audio documentary. This is a special audio documentary. I was in Tampa Bay this weekend, and I did an impromptu visit to the University of Southern Florida's Hillel chapter to meet and talk to some kids, and my mouth dropped by what I was hearing going on with anti-Jewishness, anti-Semitism on this campus of University of Southern Florida. So I started recording with my iPhone. Some of the audio isn't as good as it normally is, but this is a very important special I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast audio documentary. Miles Jordan, a.k.a. the Bleach Brothers, a.k.a. the Dust Brothers. Start this puppy off with something real nice. Start this puppy off with something real funky, and start this important I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast off with something real funky. It's the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. Let's go. All right. Have No Fear, the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast is here. Higgity, Have No Fear, the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast is here. Welcome to the Iron Dome of Disruption. Welcome to the Ziggity Zone of Disruption. My name is Michael Rappaport, a.k.a. the Inflamed Ashkenazi, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo, a.k.a. the Disruptive Warrior, a.k.a. the Raging Bullshitter. I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast coming live and direct. I am back in New York City. Moving and grooving. Can't stop, won't stop. Keeping everything level-headed. Did a nice workout this morning. Had a great weekend of shows in Tampa Bay at the Funny Bone. That was fun. Tampa's cool. Ybor City. They got chickens and roosters walking around. You wake up every morning, cock-a-doodle-doo, all that kookiness. It's a cool little area. I don't know Tampa, but that little Ybor City area is cool. And I think that's the third time I performed in Tampa. Got to meet a couple of I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast fans. Had a great batch of shows. Now I am back. Coming to L.A. next week. I'm performing at the Comedy Store Monday night, April 15th. Be in Burbank. Tuesday night, April 16th. And Wednesday, April 17th, I'll be in L.A. performing the 15th, 16th, and 17th. And I'll be in Michigan, Royal Oak. Coming back, baby. Royal Oak, the 18th, 19th, and 20th. Royal Oak, Michigan. And then Unskville? I think it's Unskville. I never heard of Unskville. But I'm going to be at the casino, Mohegan Sun. Out there in Connecticut, 25th, 26th, 27th. Then I'm coming to Madison, Wisconsin, April 2nd, 3rd. Be in Madison, Wisconsin, May 2nd. And then Turtle Lake, Wisconsin, May 3rd. And so forth and so on. I'm being Cincinnati in May. Moving, I'm grooving, I'm hustling, I'm flowing. All tickets for all the shows are available at Michael Rappaport. comedy.com, Michael Rappaport comedy.com. And as of the recording of this I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast, we are 186 days, six months into the hostage crisis, 6 months since October 7th. Can you believe that shit? And right before I started recording, there was another negotiation with Hamas. There was another deal put in place that Hamas turned down. And sickly and sadly, part of the deal was for Israel to turn over, I think it was 800 terrorists that had been in jail. The bottom of the barrel, they want these people back. 800 terrorists. They wanted 800 terrorists for 40 hostages. And inevitably, Hamas rejected the latest ceasefire hostage for terrorist swap because Hamas has declared, this is from them, they declared it does not have 40 hostages in custody, which is, they don't have 40 hostages in custody, contradicting the previous claims. There can't be any negotiation with these people. Let me tell you something. Every single thing that comes out of these people's mouth, every single thing that comes out of their mother's mouth, their father's mouth, their friend's mouth, their kid's mouth, their brother's mouth, their sister's mouth, their stepkid's mouth, is a fucking lie. Every single thing that comes out of Hamas's mouth is a fucking lie. Shut that fucking dog up! You hear that fucking little dog yapping? Why we would think we would trust terrorists to begin with. Of course, Israel knows. They know what they're dealing with. The bottom of the barrel. The worst of the worst. Nobody would trust the local pedophiliac. No one would trust the local murderer, the local arsonist, the local rapist, the local kidnapper. If that a person was in your neighborhood, you'd be like, stay away from that motherfucker. Stay away from that person. He's no good. That's what, exactly what Hamas is. No good. Every category. Pedophiliac, raping, arson, murder, kidnapping. They did it all. Of course they're lying. Of course they're fucking lying. So sick of this shit. I'm so sick of Jews being harassed. I'm so sick and tired of motherfuckers with their Free Palestine bullshit. This is on them. Unfortunately, they did this to themselves. If there are innocent civilians there, they did it to themselves. They voted these people in. In 2005, they support it. Motherfuckers talking about Free Palestine. Talking about ceasefire, ceasefire. You got it all fucked up. You're talking about ceasefire. See, the way it works is you return the hostages and then the abductors, the perpetrators of the crime, you come out in your underwear with your hands up and your weapons down. And the reason why we need you in your underwear is in case you want to blow yourself up to become a fake wannabe martyr. Now, there's not one of these motherfuckers that's ever going to heaven. Anybody that has anything to do with Hamas, there's not going to heaven. There's no virgins waiting. There's no ceasefire. You return the hostages dead or alive. You come out with your fucking hands up and your weapons down. Then we cease fire, and then somebody else could deal with the fucking problem. It ain't Israel's fucking problem that you spent 75 fucking years, 75 fucking years focused on one thing, the eradication and destruction of Israel. Get the, that's not our fucking problem. That's your, that's a you problem. That's a fucking you problem. Anyway, while I was in Tampa, I had gotten invited to the Hillel at the University of Southern Florida. And on this past weekend, I went and visited about 25 college students and the people that work and take care of the Hillel. And I was not planning on doing a podcast. I was just planning on going to have a little brunch with the kids, getting to know the kids, getting to know the climate of what's going on at the University of Southern Florida. And like I said, I was just going to talk, to meet, to hang out. And what they were telling me was so insane, so offensive. I could not believe what I was hearing from all of them. The anti-Semitism, the open, blatant, proud anti-Semitism that has gone on in this university, what's gone on in this neighborhood. I just said, I have to do so. I have to share this. These people need a voice. These kids need a voice. This story needs to come out. It's horrendous. So I just started recording what I was being told on my phone with their permission to make sure that the story gets out to as many people as possible. And I'm just so sick of the anti-Jewishness, anti-Semitism to any group. Hatred towards a group of people is never supposed to be tolerated, but it's status quo at this fucking University of Southern Florida, and it didn't just start on October 7th. And if you or your loved ones are fortunately not experiencing it in your day-to-day life, then it's easy to not know what's going on. It's easy to be out of mind, out of sight, out of mind with it. And I'm going to tell you something. This is the second college I went to. I went to UC Santa Barbara, and I heard similar stories. And my mouth, I'm like, I can't believe this. That's why I started recording, because I was like, I cannot fucking believe what these kids are telling me. No one should ever be targeted for their race, their creed, their sex, their religion, or anything, especially in the United States, the land of the free, the home of the brave. And the Jewish population of the student body of the University of Southern Florida is only 1,200 students, because it's known to be a hostile environment for Jewish people and Israeli students. Because the surrounding community is heavily Palestinian. And it ain't just Palestinians that are going at the Jews and the Israelis. It's fucking straight up white people who don't like Jews because they don't like themselves. And because they can. The only group of people who you could openly target in the United States, you can't do LGBTQ, can't do black people, can't do Asian, can't do disabled people, mentally disabled people, but it's okay to go after Jews. Unfucking believable the shit they were telling me at this school. I couldn't believe what these kids were telling me. These are young kids, 18, 19, 21, 22, 23 maybe. Kids, a lot of them girls, they're bullying girls. A lot of them, the majority of the kids I met were girls that are getting bullied on a day-to-day basis, spit on. I'm gonna share with you what I saw. I started recording it. And the amount and the size of the protests that are going on at USF mirrors many campuses around the country. And it's apparent, and it has been for the last 6 months. What's also apparent is that it's not just about Israel. It's about attacking Jewish global population as a whole. The Jewish global population as a whole is being harassed. And I'm not down with it. I'm not with it. In the United States, it's crazy. On U.S. soil, there is something insidious brewing that wants to make me bring all of the Rapper Pack talking to this. I Am Rappaport Podcast. We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. John Wall, baby, needs no introduction. Every week, the five-time NBA All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA and what's going on now in the league. CJ will bring his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John Wall will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show to give their unfiltered accounts of what's really going on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win Album of the Year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
I'm going to be narrating this segment with these kids and a couple of the teachers who run the Hillel. And I really want you to share this. I really want you to listen to this. It's unacceptable. It is unacceptable.
So Florida has the largest number of undergraduate Jewish students in the country. And most of our comparable sister schools have 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 Jewish students. UF, for instance, has 10,000. Our campus has approximately 1,200. There's a reason for that. It's known as a hostile environment. It has been for decades. And they can speak at length on that.
Yeah.
But that's why we're not talked about as nationally. Like, you might not have heard of us. I think it's really important that just because we're a minority, we're just as equal as everyone else on this campus. We want to be part of the coalition. We want to be allies. And to be silenced just because we're small in numbers, that isn't fair. We want to be treated the same way as any other student group. We want to be involved. We just want peace. We want to be loved. We want to be able to be participating in campus activities. But when people on campus are actively calling for the death of our friends, our brothers, us, it makes it impossible. It makes people want to leave. It makes people hurt. We just want to be accepted by administration. We just want to be accepted by our peers. And to be able to be told this, and to be able, when kids come and ask me, should I come to USF if they're Jewish, I have to say no.
Yeah.
I have to say no, and that's hurtful to me. I want my friends to come here, and I can't tell them that. I can't be proud of my school.
And it's also
depressing.
Wow. Also, that's fucked up, man. Yeah.
We've had Jewish students before.
Yeah. Wait, just if you could say, what's your name?
M.
Okay, you can just say your first name.
So we have families tour. They've come to tour, and they've come inside. They're like, how is it being a student here? How is it being Jewish here? And we have to tell them since October 7th, even before, don't come here. There's families that have messaged Hillel because they've gone around and they've seen the chalking, and they said this is disgusting, or they've become upset from it just by touring because they see how anti-Semitic it is, and they don't even go here. There's people... like other people have mentioned, that they warn us about protests and they're in different states away. Mm-hmm. And they know because they always reach out to the news. They always reach out to the school newspaper. They're always constantly in contact with somebody that can elevate their voices. And that's how these things just grow.
And you would think for a university that prides itself on diversity, that they would want to accept the diversity. And at least for me, like the diversity of USF was a big attraction point. But it was almost as soon as I got here that I established myself at Hillel and started experiencing anti-Semitism. And even though I grew up with it, this was unlike anything I'd ever heard of or experienced or seen. And, you know, when hate was happening against Asian people and Island Pacificers, USF was so quick to put out a statement and send out an email, a mass email, but they can't even condemn Hamas without collaborating with Hillel to even help them write the email. And then even then, they're not even putting out what we even like talk to them about. So it's just like a complete backstab, especially with the bomb threat, to say that there was no legitimate threat. Like, yes, there was no explosive device found, but you're playing with people's lives here and your students don't feel safe. And when we go and talk to student government, they're so unprofessional, they can't even keep themselves from making faces as we're talking to them in a room of a couple people, and let alone understand the anti-Semitic nature of a BDS resolution. And it just, it continues to get worse and worse and worse. And this BDS resolution that is trying to be passed right now, if it continues to go through, which we're hopeful it doesn't, things are really going to amp up here.
Can you tell me again about the bomb threat and just say your first name?
Sarah. So the bomb threat happens...
October 11th.
So just a couple days after October 7th. I personally wasn't in the building, but there were a couple students and staff in the building. And a comment on our Instagram, on one of our social media posts, was discovered basically saying you have 15 minutes to get out of the building. There was a police officer nearby that was flagged down, and the comment was shown to the police officer and they said, you guys need to get out of the building. They had police and the explosive sniffing dog come. They did clear the building and let people back in the building. And there were two mass emails that were sent out to the university. The first one saying that the building was cleared and the building was cleared and that people were back in the building, basically outing us for another potential threat. And then the second one that kind of was like case closed was the one that said there was no legitimate threat and that it was a misunderstanding between two individuals conversing on social media, which is just so beyond the truth because it wasn't a conversation. It was one person taking time out of their day to comment that there was a bomb in the building and to threaten our lives in that nature and to say that there was no legitimate threat. And they even said that it didn't pose a threat to a university building or a community. And so it's basically saying that we're not a part of the USF community and we're not affiliated with USF, which we are. Like, we're labeled as USF Hillel.
The thing that really got me going first is there was a bomb threat towards these Jewish kids. And for them to be put in position where they needed police protection on a daily basis is ridiculous. A bomb threat. Online, in phone calls. And when I got to the campus, when I got to the Hillel, there were cops there. It shouldn't get to a point where they need to have cops outside a Hillel on a quiet Saturday afternoon, which is what and when I went there. And unfortunately, the University of Southern Florida administration hasn't helped anything, but I'm going to let the kids break it down. Check this out.
We were both in the building during the threat, and afterwards we went to the police department and we were like, how could you write this? How could you say this? People are calling us liars. People are saying this is this. And they waited for our director to leave the room and they looked at us and they said, well, how would you have written that email? What would you have said? And I said, I'm sorry, but that's not my job. It's not my job to write an email regarding a bomb threat.
Yeah.
I'm 20. I was just in the building of a bomb threat. Are you kidding? Like,
they even said that we should be fortunate to have police security.
Yeah, I just want here. To point out, no other student organization needs police security. I just think it's kind of funny. Like, when you walked in, the cops were like, you didn't even think twice about it. There were just cops outside our building, and no other student group needs police protection. But, you know, the university recognizes enough to give us police protection, but won't say a single thing about, like, oh, yeah, you guys are, like, you guys need the protection. You guys are under that threat, and that's why we're giving it to you. No, they just give it to us, and they're like, hey, we're not going to say anything about it. We're not going to acknowledge the fact that you guys are under a threat. And I don't know. I just think it's a little bit of a, like, funny thing that at every other university, student organizations are all treated with respect. But for us, we can't even get the time of day from the school to say, yeah, we at least see that you guys need this help. Like,
our administration says they're indifferent, but really it's like our administration is not only amplifying but helping the anti-Semitism. Complicit. They're complicit
yeah.
with the anti-Semitism that is on campus. And they won't do a thing. Our president won't do a thing. The dean of students won't do a thing. Our suit of conduct won't do a thing. They are just ignoring us and saying, you know what, you deal with it, it's fine.
Have you filed actual complaints?
Yes.
Many.
Probably over 100. Many.
Yeah. I have filed probably 30.
I've talked directly with the editor for our school's newspaper. If you were to look for a place where there is rampant anti-Semitism online, either look at the comment section of one of our student groups for us, or look at our USF newspaper, our online newspaper, and the comments underneath any post, even if they're related to Palestine or Israel or anything. People just find it to be a comfortable place for them to just call for the destruction of Israel, to call for a second Holocaust, to call for the destruction of Judaism, and you have people silently liking their comments, reposting. And we are trying to win a physical war, but we are actively losing a digital war that is poisoning the minds of people at USF, people that you have been with for, you know, I'm a senior, I graduate this semester, I've known people for 4 years, and to have to block them, remove them, get them out of my life, because they will stop at nothing to just diminish you to just an angry Jew who doesn't understand what's really going on.
And it's frustrating after having an actual conversation with our president and an ex-president that asked, is there actually anti-Semitism on campus? They use the word actually, thinking that, like, oh, it's a joke, they're just joking to get our attention and we're gonna do nothing about it. And when I explained so many situations, I explained a journalism professor spewing wrong facts about the history of the conflict to a class of reporters, like people that are going into the journalism field. She was spewing wrong facts. And I told our president about this. She goes, I don't think she meant it like that. And it's like hurtful as a student and to see all that anti-Semitism and stuff. And they acknowledge that it's there, but they will do nothing about it, but they will stand at the protests.
I think also one of the most just like heartbreaking things is we can't even have like a candlelight vigil or a Shabbat or stand in solidarity with the hostages without some sort of disturbance or car driving by or someone spewing pro-Hamas profanity, whatever it is. And let alone not only stand in solidarity with the hostages, but like we have a brother who's fighting. I'm going to try to not get emotional because he's the most amazing person in the world. And we're not even being given the space to stand in solidarity with the people in Israel and with the hostages, and let alone feel safe on campus. That's completely out of the picture. You know, with having a leadership position at Hillel, I'm scared to go to my classes. I've had to withdraw from classes. We've had students fail out of classes, especially last semester. Retract graduate grad student grad school applications, and it is just heartbreaking.
You retracted your
I did
mine. Yeah. It's just unfair that we pay all of this money to go to this university and we don't have the equal opportunity to use our spaces. I get texts on a weekly basis from both Jews and non-Jews saying, don't go to the library, there's a protest, there's a sit-in at the Starbucks, there's a sit-in at the student center, and where do we go? We can't lock ourselves inside the Hillel building, which is unfortunately what we had to do after October 7th for months, and that's what led us to failing our classes. We didn't have access to the resources that the pro-Palestinian or the other kids on campus feel that they have that they're entitled to, but we're not entitled to that because we're Jews.
We were all scared to go to our classes. We were all scared to be on campus. I had to email professors and be like, your class is at a time where I have to walk past the library and see a protest, and that's going to send me into a mental spiral. I can't make it to your class. And thankfully, this professor was understanding, but there was another professor who wasn't. And it's hurtful to see professors and that are like, they all say, like, we're here for our students, like, we want to help you to pass this class, that just don't give a shit.
It's also just that every pro-Palestinian protest, no one will go up to them. Mm-hmm. None of us will go up there and just be like, why are you doing this? You're a terrorist. We don't call them out. We had one vigil and some guy just starts screaming anti-Semitic things at our Chabad director, our Hillel director.
Saying what?
We're the fruit of the poison
tree. Yeah. We're disgusting. Intifada revolution. Yeah. It was 6 million wasn't enough. Like, we've heard all of these slurs.
There is a protest every single day.
Every week.
Every single day, I have to walk by a protest or see a poster. Mm-hmm. Every single building, there is. Sorry for getting emotional. There is posters in our classroom saying just, you're killing these Gazans. Israel should not be here. Just anti-Semitism everywhere. It is, if you're Jewish, you should not come to this school. And that's it.
And the chalk, period, the chalk on the sidewalk saying, like, more dead journalists than World War II is God knows however many thousand people. Is that not enough for you? Bombs do not equal peace. And, like, we can't even go to our classes and not see a single thing. And not see, like, anything. Like, there's always more than one thing on our way to classes, and it's not safe.
6 million wasn't enough, huh? Yelling that at kids is ridiculous and should be deemed a hate crime. 6 million wasn't enough? Because they're referring to the Holocaust. You say that to a young girl, 6 million wasn't enough? One of the members of a Hillel went to Israel to join the IDF to fight. These students wouldn't know what the fuck it means to fight. These bullies, they wouldn't know what it means to want to stand up, to join the IDF, to go back in the IDF when you don't have to. The kid that went back into the IDF, they all know somebody that was killed or kidnapped or other soldiers who were fighting in the IDF. Normal college community, a normal college environment, student body would rally around somebody like that. He would be deemed a hero, right? Normal that would happen. But instead, there's attacks, there's assaults.
USF administration, undeniably, are liars. We are supposed to be an inclusive school. We came here for diversity. We came here to be accepted and to be able to be told on a day-to-day basis. We mentioned our brother, Mac. He is one of the pillars of our community. To not be able to embrace him, to not be able to celebrate, it's a U.S. ally. We are being equated to a terrorist group. We are being told that we, who are trying to support our friend, our brother, our community leader in one of his greatest accomplishments, where he sacrificed everything, left all his friends, left all his family to go fight in a war to save his people in the one Jewish state in the entire world. There's 15 million Jews on this planet and 8 million of them live in Israel. And he went to go fight them all on his own with no friends, no backing. And to be told that he's equivalent to an internationally recognized terrorist group, how are we supposed to be inclusive? How is the administration telling us that they want to promote those values and be safe and keep students involved when they're telling us that we'll protect all student groups except Jews? Jews are not part of the coalition. Jews are someone you are more than welcome to be anti-Semitic against. You're more than welcome to be racist against. We're an ethno-religion. We are just accepted. It is accepted to be hateful to Jews on this campus. USF administration is liars.
Who was able to articulate, like, the what you were saying about the 1948 cafe?
So the school is...
Can you just say who you are? You could just say you're...
My name is Sylvie.
Okay.
The school is located in an area with a very large and vibrant Palestinian community. It physically surrounds the campus. And also, we have a large Arab and Palestinian student body. Most of whom are very peace-loving, most of whom are not involved with issues on campus whatsoever. However, there is a very large difference in numbers between the Jewish student body and the Arab and or Palestinian student body. We are at a massive disadvantage. The numbers game, there's no way we're going to win. And it impacts our students' ability to receive equitable representation, equitable care, equitable treatment.
I live off campus, and it's probably what I'm most grateful for, because since October 7th, it's literally I go to my classes, I go home, I go to Hillel, I go home, yep. Because I know I don't feel safe as a 6-foot man on campus. And I can only imagine how my peers feel.
I will piggyback on that. I also live off campus. I do not feel safe. I watched every single video that could have come out on Twitter October 7th. I was, like, freaking out. My friend finally dragged me out for a walk, and they're screaming, like, Allah Akbar in the parking lot, and they're celebrating. I've had trouble with male students, especially, like, even non-Jewish ones, that they try to comfort you, and they have some intentions. I had a conversation, and I was really upset about the rape aspect of October 7th being a woman, and he looks at me in the eyes, you know, a few days after October 7th, and he goes, well, I think that's the only way they know how to resist.
I would just like to add, I live on campus, and we've had a couple of anti-Semitic incidents in my building specifically. We've had people say that 6 million weren't enough in the common areas. We've had people do the Nazi salute and a bunch
of... You've had people do... You see...
Yeah, in common areas. It on the first floor lobby of the building. I've seen it happen where there were many people there. People have reached out to the RAs, which are resident assistants. They're They're responsible for all the residents in the building. And there was no answer. And we were a little confused on why there was no response, just to find out that the next week, most of the RA staff actually went to a pro-Palestinian protest in downtown Tampa. They have started to put Palestinian flags on their doors. If you look in their offices right now, there are pro-Palestinian posters in there, which is not the place for it. This is where there are about 7 or 8 Jewish people living in my hallway alone. We do not feel safe when our RA is literally supporting the genocide of our people. We do not feel safe when our RA calls out Intifada. Mm. He's supposed to be the person helping us, not making us feel unsafe.
I think it also can't go without mention that some of us here have actually lost people on October 7th, yeah. Lost people very close to us, and that needs to go without mention.
Yeah, I actually have told my RA about the 2 people I know that are kidnapped right now. In the beginning of the war, I told him about it, and he said that he feels bad for me. And after hearing everything from our side, he still calls it lies. I have shown him firsthand evidence of my friends being kidnapped, and he doesn't believe it. He just ignores it.
I also live off campus, and after October 7th, I had one of my roommates, I don't live with any Jews, but one of my roommates walked out of her room after being on a call with her mom saying, Sammy can hide at our place if we need to, like if she needs to get hidden again. Really, we're just as scared if we were back in the 30s and 40s in Poland and Germany. And it was a crazy thing to get told, oh, I have a place to hide, I know where I can go if the time comes.
I'm Israeli and people are begging me. They're like, come back here, we're fine. Like, we're scared to leave we're scared to go to the U.S.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
I Am Rappaport Podcast.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the Draft King's YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. John Wall, baby, needs no introduction. Every week, the 5-time NBA All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA and what's going on now in the league. CJ will bring his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John Wall will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show to give their unfiltered accounts of what's really going on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win album of the year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
When people ask me, and I've been asked this a lot, why I've spent so much time fighting for Israel, why have I spent so much time in the last 6 months fighting for Jewish people, it's for kids like this. I ain't no hero. I didn't expect to be in this sort of position. But there is no escape from the anti-Semitism that these kids are dealing with at the University of Southern Florida. And as fucked up as it is, as uncomfortable as it is, as scary as it is, we must fight back. We must bully the bullies. We must stand together, whether you're Jewish or not. Everybody knows right from wrong. And what's happening on this campus, when you see people getting screamed at, we have to step up to shine a light on the darkness, to expose that these type of things are actually happening. The University of Southern Florida has a fucking problem. A serious fucking problem.
Charlotte Korchak from Stand With Us had a great sentence when she came to speak with us.
Say that again.
Charlotte Korchak, who's an educator with Stand With Us, her statement was as followed. In Israel, you have mental safety, but not physical safety. Whereas in the U.S., you have physical safety, but not mental and psychological safety.
Where did you say there is the, like, there's a strip of...
2 minutes. Not this street, like the next one.
Less than a mile away.
Yeah, there's a street. It's full of...
Two blocks over.
Yeah, it's where they have all their protests. It's full of Arab shops. They have a cafe called the 1948 Cafe.
There's an actual cafe on what street?
56th Street. They have a Jerusalem market. When I moved here, I was like, oh, Jerusalem. And my friend said, nope, not that one.
And, so. And way before October 7th, they started this No Appetite for Apartheid campaign, where basically any... In 2014,
yeah,
basically,
shops now
any product or store that has anything to do with Judaism, even like Sabra hummus, they put stickers on it, and they classify these shops as apartheid free, and
the shops themselves, they're complicit. They put up a sign in their front window that says we're an apartheid free store. None of these products are Israeli. We don't support. A genocide.
We can't even go off campus and escape it.
A yellow sticker. It's a yellow sticker, and it says contaminated with apartheid, and with a line through it. And sometimes it'll have a Star of David, sometimes it won't.
You've seen a Star of David?
Yes. I've seen it, yes. Yeah. A yellow sticker with a Star of David with a line through it. No appetite for apartheid. Yeah. Complicit in genocide. This food is contaminated with genocidal intent.
Damn.
I find it funny when I see...
That is fucking crazy, man. That is fucking crazy.
At an Indian market about 4 miles down the road.
Yeah.
There's no way to escape this anti-Semitism. There's billboards. You can go down 275 and there's billboards about it. You can go into shops and you will see these stickers on campus. There's a protest every single day. You can't escape it. There's no way to escape it, and... This is just what we're dealing with at USF. Yeah.
You cannot be safe and Jewish on campus unless you are actively promoting being anti-Jewish. Unless you are actively showing support against Judaism or intense support for Palestine, then you're a good Jew. Then you're a Jew that they like, but you're not really Jewish. You're pro-Palestinian. But you're not safe as a Jew on campus otherwise. If they see you wearing anything that is recognizable as being Jewish, you're questioned, you're interrogated. And if you don't give an answer that they like, you're called a Nazi, you're called, you know, Zionist trash. You're
You've had that happen?
Oh, yeah.
I was called a Zionist
Several
trash.
Of us.
Somebody messaged me saying, you ugly Zionist girl who has a victim complex. The only real victim is your parents staring at your ugly Zionist face. Like, they're crazy. I mean,
people try to contact my friends who I have some friends that are Middle Eastern. And I've had friends try to contact my friends to get my contact information, which my friends then declined because they're not going to do that, to try to get my contact information so that way they could find me and try to hurt me.
I just want to, like, say, I'm, as another Israeli student on campus, like, just
something completely unrelated to Israel, people will be like, why, you can't talk, like, you're Israeli, you don't have a say in this. Like, dude, just because I'm from a country doesn't mean I don't get a say in something, especially when I'm proud of where I'm from. I don't see why that should have any bearing on me getting to have my own input on things. I'm Israeli, that's it.
I'm going to be returning to the USF Hillel. And when I do, I'm going to promote that I'm coming. That wasn't the case this time because it was really an impromptu pop-in. But now that I realize how these kids are being treated and not deemed as safe, students, faculty, and community members need to be held accountable. They need to be held accountable for their conduct. And we're holding them all accountable at the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, each and every one of them.
I came here on a Saturday, you know, quickly planned, sort of anonymously planned. If we had promoted that I was coming on campus, what would the response have been?
Michael, you can't.
So, not only would people have said things on social media, but we probably would have had people come to the building, even though we have a police presence.
Yeah. We would have, I think, had without a doubt, by with the flags,
without a doubt,
we would have had to come like 4 hours earlier and not have our cars here.
Yeah,
and probably, you know, literally be in hiding to try to come here hours before you came here, so there would be a semblance of safety. But there would still be people here 3 hours before you came here.
And we would
here.
Have additional police.
Yeah.
Like,
and we have a police officer 24/7.
Yeah.
We are the only organization. We are the only organization that needs to have a police presence outside.
24/7. They're here since the bomb threat. Like, you drive past at 3 a.m, they're out here.
Are any of you guys thinking about not coming back to the school?
Yes. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah, we have, Liz and I have pulled our grad applications. They even said, you know, why? And I said, this is like, we have a senior survey, an outtake survey. And I said, this is one of the worst experiences I could have had at a university. I never would have imagined that my biggest problem would be my race or my religion at a university where I'm studying health sciences. Didn't think that was my biggest problem.
Yeah.
And also, you don't get a break from it. You know, we're in a unique spot where, like, my grandma's a Holocaust survivor, and she said to me that this is worse than what she experienced. And then my parents grew up in, like, the golden age of America where they had no problems with anti-Semitism. And so when, you know, I talk about it with them, they're like, well, just keep your head down. You're telling me to keep your head down, and I'm looking at graffiti on my university campus saying, was 25,000 dead Gazans not enough for you? They don't even call them the IDF. They say IOF, the Israeli Occupational Forces. Right. So you can't look up because there's a protest on your face, and you can't look down because there's graffiti all over your sidewalks. What are you supposed to look? What are you supposed to do?
The hypervigilance on campus as a Jewish student is unreal. Like, there are times that I'm walking and I, like, have 911 ready just to, like, press the dial button. And as someone who lives on campus, I took the name placard off my door the day of October 7th, because I don't need people knowing where I live. And as a Jewish student leader, that was a huge concern for me. And I can't even, like, go back to my apartment and escape it because there are people in the building and in surrounding buildings that participate in these protests and are part of these student organizations and hold leadership positions and are friendly with the RAs. And when last semester, when two of my roommates graduated, we had two random girls moving in. The amount of anxiety I had knowing that two strangers were moving in, and if they saw my door open for 1 second and saw the Israel flag I had on the wall or the mezuzah on my door, I was absolutely petrified. And next year I'm moving off campus and will be off campus as much as possible. And if I'm not in class, I'm going to be at Hillel or my apartment because nowhere else on campus is safe.
You're just visually bombarded. You're visually bombarded and you're auditorily bombarded. There's
no complete sensory overload.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
This
anti-Jewishness, anti-Semitism, anti-Zionist has been going on before October 7th?
In the early 2000s, I believe, it was a professor here by the name of Sami Al-Aryan who was deported for being a member of Hamas. So, yeah.
He was a teacher?
Yes. Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Sorry. Big difference. But, yeah. Yeah, he was a professor, a tenured professor, I believe.
So in the late 80s, a cell established base here on the campus. There were four employees who were affiliated with Palestinian Islamic Jihad, one of whom in, I believe, 95 just up and disappeared overnight, showed up in Syria or Lebanon and became the head of the global head of Palestinian Islamic Jihad until 2018.
And this was a professor here?
This was an instructor here.
There were about seven people indicted by the United States government.
There was an individual. Many of them had already left the country, so the government couldn't, you know, follow through with the case and imprison them. But one of them, Dr. Al-Aryan, was charged. He was held accountable. He was deported. Then there was another individual who is still local. Who was charged, who faced jail time and then faced additional jail time for additional charges. He came back to the area. He's now a leader in their community. And we know he's had some affiliation with student groups on this campus in recent months.
If I was going to say I know it's a kind of a hard question. What would be the one thing that you would like to see for these students and for this campus to deal with what's historically going on here, what's historically gone on here, and what's happening right now, what would you say?
We have to start with an acknowledgement that it's happening. They won't acknowledge it's happening. It's interesting because we have police, again, only environment on campus that requires this, and we're grateful for the resource. But they are on one hand saying there are no problems, and then on the other hand, we have a massive resource 24/7 here.
And that started when?
That started within hours of the bomb threat.
What was the date? Do you remember?
October 11th. And we're immensely grateful for it. And the officers are wonderful and they're good to our students. But nothing is going to change until the leaders acknowledge that we have that they have a problem, that there is a sickness and a rot on this campus.
And they need to also enforce the code of conduct. And students who talk about intifadas or violence or threats, things like that, they need to be expelled. They need to expel people for violating the code of conduct. And until that happens, this is going to be status quo.
Damn.
After October 7th, I know I speak for almost everybody in this room. Hillel has been the core supporter. It has coming to this building is like a breath of relief. Like you can let out all of your stress. You can talk to all of these people because we all are going through the same thing and we all understand. Mm-hmm. And it has been the most helpful thing to come out of October 7th is the community that we have built.
Mishpacha.
Family.
And so it's incredible to see us all come together and be there for one another. It's just the best.
I'm proud of these students for holding their ground. I'm proud of these students, and I appreciate them for sharing this story. And hopefully this story will end soon, although I can't be so innocent and so, I'm surprised. This is a reality. We're 6 months into this shit. 6 months into it, I never would have imagined we'd be dealing with this 6 months later. I never would have imagined I'd be visiting University of Southern Florida, a college campus, and kids would be harassed openly. But I'm going to tell you right now, Michael Rapport, I will not stop speaking out against hatred, against injustice. I've been doing it since this podcast started. For everything under the sun, abortion rights, Dick Stain, Donald Trump, AOC, January 6th, Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, and everything in between. Since I started this podcast, I'm not backing down. And I encourage all of you, whether you're Jewish or not, to not back down. In whatever way it means to you, bully the bullies. Do not be ashamed of yourself. Jewish kids, Zionist, especially the kids, do not be ashamed of yourself. Do not doubt what you know is right. And do not stop fighting. This has been an I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast Jewish audio documentary. I'm going to stay on this story and all stories like this until a real change has happened. Stay safe, stay sane, and as always, stay disruptive. Miles Jordan, a.k.a. the Bleach Brothers, a.k.a. the Dust Brothers, take me out of here with something real nice. Take me out of here with something real loud, but most importantly, end this museum-quality Jewish audio documentary, I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, with something really fantastically funky.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win album of the year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.